And our community connection, as always, brought to you this morning by First Baptist Church. An opportunity to spend some time this morning with Julie Daniels, candidate for State Senate. And Julie, you and I, we've done this sort of interview before. I can remember speaking with you when you were in to talk about the Service League, obviously with your time on the Bartlesville City Council. So certainly not a stranger to this microphone, but a new point of view for
always,
you.
Always good to be here at Bartlesville Radio. Appreciate everything you do for Bartlesville. In fact, I was listening this morning at 6 o'clock, and we're celebrating the birthday of the publication of Pride and Prejudice, 1813, my favorite novel, my favorite novelist, Jane Austen. And so heard that from you guys this morning. And also, just a shout out to the new Bartlesville Teacher of the Year, Margie Green. Mm-hmm. I was not able to attend that event on Tuesday, but shout out to her because she's the choir director. Mm-hmm. And little story there about teachers being so important. My son Fletcher, getting ready to go into seventh grade at Central Middle School, you pick up the schedule and you go through it with your son, and he says, I'm supposed to be in choir. And the mother says, you didn't tell me that. And he said, oh yes, Mrs. Singleton told me that I was to come audition because she wanted me in choir. I said, well, did you do the audition? Oh, I forgot. So here it is August, a couple of weeks before school starts. Call Mrs. Singleton. She meets us at Central Middle School. Fletcher goes in and does his thing, comes out beaming. She comes out and says, yes, I want him in choir. He's got an excellent voice, but Fletcher, you're no longer a tenor, you're a bass. That's how fast that happens. So fast forward. Thanks to Margie Gravely and Susan Mueller and Tamara Walker, he never did get to work with Margie Green. Fletcher went on, minored in music in college, had a vocal music scholarship, sang with the Bartlesville Choral Society, the San Antonio Lyric Opera, the San Antonio Choral, whatever. Went to Washington, D.C., joined the Capitol Hill Chorale. All these wonderful things because of music, and best of all, in the college choir at Trinity University, met his future wife and my lovely daughter-in-law. So teachers and those connections with kids are really, really important. So congratulations to Margie Green and the whole of the music department at Bartlesville Public Schools for that honor.
And music students in general do exceptionally well in all their other studies.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I'm here because I announced as a Republican candidate for Senate District 29 back in June. Mm-hmm. And I've been out on the campaign trail since that time, knocking on doors. Later today, I'm going down to the south end of Nowata County and northern Rogers County, which are part of the district, and I will start visiting with voters in some of those communities and then be with the Republicans in Rogers County for precinct meetings this evening. And as public information for our own Washington County party, our precinct meetings for Republicans in Washington County are Monday, February 8th.
Right.
Yes, 7 o'clock in the community room of the Bartlesville Community Center. So if you're a registered Republican, whether you know what precinct you're in or not, just come to the Bartlesville Community Center at 7 o'clock on Monday the 8th for refreshments, and we'll divide you into your precincts. And I happen to be secretary of the party right now and said I would help get the word out.
And not only just because it's a presidential election year, but just the importance of grassroots politics in general, Julie. That's really where everything always starts.
That's exactly right. And you point out, being a presidential election year, if you want to vote in the GOP primary in Oklahoma, which is March 1, it's been moved up from mm-hmm. previous cycles, you need to register to vote by February 5. And then a little later, you can register to vote for me on June the 28th, 2016, in the primary for state offices. But February 5 is the deadline if you want to vote in the presidential primary. And so anyway, I'm out there on the trail, and I call it listen and learn. Mm-hmm. I know a wide variety of people from the different organizations and projects I've been involved with, and that's certainly reflected in the great people who joined me and are on my committee. But I find that right now you need to meet as many people as possible and just listen to what's on their mind and learn about subjects from them. I have a broad knowledge of many things, but for instance, a friend invited me to sit in on the Washington County Cattle Women's Association meeting on Monday. Mm-hmm. And three issues came up at various times during the meeting. And fortunately, they were things of which I was already aware, but I noted down this was important enough to be brought up at the meeting. And of course, ran into some people I'd met out on the trail, which is always fun, and had a great time. The sheriff did his active shooter program. Encourage everybody to get to hear that.
That's important information.
It's really good. He and the deputies, he had three deputies with him. I'm sorry, I can't remember all their names, but Sheriff Silver and his team did a great job, and it was very instructive.
And the guidance on that has changed from what maybe people might have seen in presentations, let's say, 5 years ago.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I appreciate very much elected officials looking forward, seeing what can we do to help the citizens whom we serve. And I think that is why Charlie and putting together my campaign and thinking about running for this office, having been involved in political and policy issues for a long time, I think we need to remember who the customers are. The customers are the taxpayers who pay for everything. So for me, it's putting the taxpayers first. And that doesn't always mean not spending any money. It means of the billions of dollars we are spending in state government, are we spending it economically and effectively? Are we getting the best bang for the taxpayers' buck? Because that dollar came out of their pocket. They agreed through representative government to let that dollar go to the Oklahoma City, to the Capitol building. But there are so many demands on their dollars now, and so much encroachment coming in from the federal government in terms of the unaffordability of the Affordable Care Act coming in, the actions of the Environmental Protection Agency to further constrain the fossil fuel industry, which drives up the cost of utilities, and then the spending just at the state level. That it's very important, I think, for an elected representative, and I will certainly do this if I'm honored by being elected senator of District 29, to put them first in every decision-making, in my decision-making process. I know Congressman Bridenstine has something he calls the Core Four.
Right.
Is it constitutional? Is it, does it match his Judeo-Christian ethics? Is it needed, and can we afford it?
Right.
And so I'm kind of wrapping all of that into one and just saying, think about the taxpayer. Is this where we should spend their money? Is this where we should not spend any money? And since you cannot do everything, do some things really, really well. It's like the restaurant that has the huge menu and none of it's particularly good, and then the restaurant that, you know, puts it on the chalkboard and you can read it in like 1 minute, but every single dish is really good, well thought out, well prepared. I've done cooking examples in here before,
yes,
as I recall. But anyway.
They work because I think that's something that people can easily relate to.
Yes. You know? Yes.
You've moved up in levels of government, Ward 2, Bartlesville City Council. You have participated at the federal level on water resources issues, so certainly you're no stranger to governmental thought. You have your JD, so you have a legal background.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't know it before, I think you're finding that Republican voters in Northeast Oklahoma are far from monolithic. There are a lot of different issues, and they all matter.
They do all matter, and again, it's a matter of prioritizing those issues because everything demands funding and resources are limited. Yes, thank you for bringing up my time on the City Council. Was a very good opportunity for me to take a conservative political philosophy that I've honed over a lifetime. I mean, I registered Republican at the age of 18 on my birthday, and the person who handed me the voter registration card wrote Democrat on it. Just because the assumption was, I guess, and I had to, you know, I was 4'10" at the time, and this was a teacher at my high school, and he was also a coach, and he was a great big guy. And I had to hand that card right back to him and say, Mr. So-and-so, I want to be registered Republican. And he did it very kindly, but he seemed kind of surprised. So anyway, I've honed that philosophy and been active in the party and in issues my whole life. And so the City Council gave me a chance in a nonpartisan role to apply that philosophy to the practicality of day-to-day government. And it worked really well for me, Charlie. In fact, I can count on the fingers of one hand in 8 years where I cast a vote or made a decision that was counter to my philosophy, and I'd go home and tell my Charlie, I messed this up. You know, I really need to go back and remember. And a lot of this had to do with private property rights,
mm-hmm.
One of those foundational rights that gets kind of brushed aside, but it's so important. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed working with all the people. The water thing came up when I was a brand new city councilman. We had that drought. It was a little bit of a panic time.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around the room, and I was the junior member of the council, and I thought, well, if I get to stay here a few years, somebody needs to make this their issue. And so I just decided quietly I would study and learn all I could, and if I could be of use down the road, I would do that. And learned so much. My first time to interact with the federal government, not on a party level, but an issue level. And then took it to the next level and became interested in the whole state water plan. And while it doesn't get talked about very much in this election cycle, water in Oklahoma is critically important, and maybe not so much in our part of the state, but I do see some ways out there and some visionary ways that we could help Western Oklahoma. And it's got a lot of interested parties. You know, there's a lot of territorial battles that may have to be resolved. But I think being interested in a broad range of topics, because of my background in humanities and law, everything is interesting to me and everything is important. So as you say, when you're out there on the doorstep talking to someone, they may bring up an issue I've never thought about. But I write it down, I go home, I at least Google, and I start learning. And I think that will help me be very good at constituent services, which is certainly what I have found with Senator Ford and Representative Sears and now Representative Dunlap. Anyone, Jim Dunlap before, Jerry Pierce, Denzel Garrison, all those gentlemen provided really good individual constituent services, and there's that aspect to the office that will certainly be important to me.
It will be, I'm sure, and it'll be important to voters. We will continue talking with Julie Daniels when we continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Continuing our time on a Community Connection this morning with candidate for the State Senate, Julie Daniels. And Julie, and just again as a observation, you announced last summer. That makes it an awfully long campaign for you, but it's a process of developing, like you said, those interviews with people when you meet them at the airport, you meet them at their home, hearing what's important to them, and then applying experience that you have gained through, again, I'm going back to some early interviews with you when you were in regularly for the Service League, but now your service to nonprofits like the Boys and Girls Club, and again, youth services, being involved in the community, that's kind of what builds the foundation for what you're looking for, right?
Yes, sir, it certainly does. And of course, all of those things have brought me individual personal satisfaction because I like to work with people. I like to tackle a problem and see it resolved. And maybe it's an idea that I have myself, or maybe you sit around long enough and you hear people complain about something. At the Service League, we wanted to expand the number of kids coming to the youth canteen. We were constrained in the space we had. We had a lot of kids doing garage bands. We want to try to bring that element of the student population into the club. So finally I said, well, let's just expand the club. And we started a capital campaign, and we got that done in a couple of years. And while the Service League dissolved itself earlier this year, its assets went to the Bartlesville Community Foundation to continue to serve Washington County youth. The Mutual Girls Club has taken a fine piece of property that we put a lot of love and care into, and it's going to continue to serve the youth of our area, and that's very important to me. And at the Boys and Girls Club, my kids played basketball. They went to St. John's School for elementary school. They played basketball out there. I guess Fletcher did. And so I was in the club a little bit when he was younger, and then part of my United Way service, I was on one of those fund committees where you go out and review the club. Because at
Community
the time, I was very
involved
in the YWCA. I was president of the YW for 3 years. So anyway, my friend Scott Ambler approached me in 2010 and said, I know you'd like to find a new thing to get your teeth into, and we've hired a new director, and my goodness, what a joyful experience that has been. Out at the club Monday and Tuesday this week, they're interviewing for a new executive director. Fine people, fine board. I just rolled off the board, but I've made the promise, even if I'm fortunate enough to be elected, that they'll let me come back on the board. I may have to miss a meeting or two, But the nice thing for me about the Boys and Girls Club is seeing those mentors in the staff who are properly trained to mentor these kids, to help each of them in any way they need. You know, it's group activity, but it's the individual child. You know, we're educating a group of children, but it's the individual child from which you want to get the really good results to pay dividends on down the road to everybody. And I just love being out there with the kids and the staff. They make my day. And through Boys and Girls Clubs of America and the opportunity to take on leadership roles, went to their advanced leadership training. Oh my gosh, wish I'd had that 20 years ago. Wish I'd had that before I became a city council member. But really has helped me a lot in terms of just my own activities. And they're great. We're growing that club. A couple of people on my committee I didn't even know before my Boys and Girls Clubs Day. Kelly and Nate Barham, they love the club. Kind of got to know them a little bit. Went to ask them if they'd be on my committee, and they were glad to do that. My friends Charlie and Corky Bowerman, they've been friends for years, gone to my church, our church. But it wasn't until 18 months ago that we started working on this capital project together that they truly became treasured friends. Mm-hmm. And that is the fun thing about being involved.
You've mentioned
developing those relationships.
You mentioned your committee and relationships, and sometimes the people that a candidate either chooses, invites, or get volunteers from the community to serve on their committee says something about the candidate. Can we talk a little about your committee? Who are you associating with?
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank my good friend Sherry Cox. Sherry Cox, who was previous owner of Musselman Abstract, and sold that to Drew Eyrig, another great young leader in Bartlesville. Sherry mentored me. Sherry's one of those people you can trust. You got a problem, you got a stupid idea, you can go say it to Sherry, and Sherry will say, that was a stupid idea. But you move on from that. But she's not going to go out and say, Julie just came up with a really stupid idea. It's all when you can trust somebody and you have that kind of friendship, and she's the treasurer of my committee. And we've done so many fun things at the Boys and Girls Club on the board together over the years. And then my friend Stan DeFair. Stan, not only through his medical knowledge and his leadership, but also because he's very active in the Republican Party and conservative politics. And when we would go up and do water in Washington, either with the state chamber or the Tulsa chamber, we would fly up and we'd go do our water thing. 3 out of the 6 times I was up there with that group, I would pass Stan DeFair in front of the Supreme Court on a hot and sultry August afternoon, because he was up there for the cardiologist meeting and he was lobbying on health care with them. So I think there were a few years there I saw Dr. DeFair more in D.C. than I did here. Lacey Gittinger. Lacey, I did not know at all until we ran a local bond campaign and we decided to bring young Bartlesville leaders in to actually do the campaign, to do the speaking, to actually run it. And Lacey was one of those, and then brought her onto the Boys and Girls Club, and now she's on my campaign committee. And you know, she grew up in Nowata, absolutely delightful local person, and really like her. The best next door neighbor in the world, John Turner. John's originally from the Dewey area, and he's lived next door to us for 10 or 15 years, and he's just wonderful. Randy Thompson, organist at my church, director of OK Mozart. Fun, conservative guy. He's been very kind to step forward. College friend Mary Burkett, only college friend I have here in Bartlesville, I think. And of course, her husband Tom and I have become friends over the years, and he's taught me everything I know about preserving locomotives. Mm-hmm. Because we worked on that together. And then Bill and Kathy Alexander, know them basically through Scouts. And all the 10 years that Bill roped me into teaching citizenship in the community merit badge to all these young men. So just that, I have left some people out, but I've got every name I look at, you're right, I can go back and connect them to a part of my life in my adopted hometown of Bartlesville. You know, I came here in 88. I was married. We got married in 77. First 2 years I was here, I was commuting to the University of Tulsa Law School to finish. I had started at OU. Charlie and I got engaged in May and married in August because he was an international lawyer and he was going to be going to China and I needed to get back in school. So we did that really quick. And then 9 years overseas in England. As I tell people, I never lived in Ronald Reagan's America. So all the clips and things go out to Simi Valley, to the Reagan. There's a lot of things out there I've never seen. But I lived in Margaret Thatcher's Britain, and I watched Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul turn the world around. So a special time there, but came back in 88 with two little boys, and Bartlesville welcomed me and let me jump in. And each year I've been able to expand a little bit of what I do. And I just see this as that next step in community service. Now, not just Bartlesville, but Nowata County and the northern part of Rogers County. And being an Okie, you know, I was born and raised in Oklahoma City. This is home.
And your history, your acquaintances, the people that either you already know or that stop you at the grocery store and say this is important, that all drives what will eventually be the policies that you take to the Capitol, assuming you're elected.
That's very true. And Charlie, we're at a pivotal moment in our state history. I know that my party's getting beat up on a lot right now. We have to remember 1907 statehood. For virtually the first 100 years of the state of Oklahoma, it was run by the Democrat Party. Now,
the natural assumption on that voter registration form.
That's right. We had four Republican governors, and including the one we have now. And there were times, and I'm sure that there were Republicans involved in decision making, yes, but when Denzel Garrison was in the Senate, there were only six Republicans. So the culture and the systems and the agencies and the ways of doing things basically grew up under the umbrella of the Democrat Party. So now we're facing new challenges. And because government everywhere has grown, and the compliance with all the rules and regulations makes the cost of local government more expensive. You'd rather go build a swimming pool, but you have to pay Mike Bailey and his compliance officers in the finance department, you know, when you'd rather go do something else. So for me, it's a time to look at doing things differently. And the Republican Party has only been in the majority, 10 years or less? Mm-hmm. And we've been through downturns virtually every year. We've been through the recession. Now we're facing our own recession in the energy industry. So there's an opportunity here to truly go down every rabbit hole, every trail, every source of revenue. How's it being spent? How did it come to be spent that way? Why do we earmark so much money? You know, they talk about entitlements in Washington and Congress having very little authority over the money. Mm-hmm. It's the same in Oklahoma. And we need to undo some of that, do it differently so that we can, again, spend the taxpayers' dollar more effectively and more economically and roll back the regulations that constrain liberty. Small business people, we say, are the backbone of the economy. But every time we constrain their ability to prosper, grow their business, and hire more people, we are actually putting more people in need of government services. So you have to, things are out of balance for me. And because it's a very difficult time in the economy, we're doing things, we're kind of not quite at panic level, but there's a lot of emotion, maybe not as deliberative as we need to be. So long term, yes, you're going to have to put out the fire now, but we need to do some serious fire prevention in Oklahoma, and I want to be a part of that. Certainly, I feel like I had those opportunities on the city council. I didn't know I was going to be mayor and get to run a search committee and hire Ed Gordon as city manager. Oh, Ed's on my committee. What a blessing. What a blessing to have Ed. He has seen us through highs and lows, and he's just as fair and equitable and wants the best for everybody. And I want to take that attitude, that Ed Gordon attitude, to Senate District 29. And hopefully they will honor me by electing me and allowing me the honor of serving.
Well, it's a long time in one sense till November. And on the other hand, now is the time for voters to start making, asking the right questions and finding out how they can get involved in the process.
And in wrapping up, Charlie, I will actually file in April. Mm-hmm. So I've announced, and I am raising money, and I appreciate that kind of support, and I'm knocking on doors. But the primary election is June 28. So that is the first election hurdle for me. And I have a website, danielsoksenate.com, and all my other contact information is there, but I have a Facebook page, Daniels OK Senate, and my email address, Julie at Daniel's okay sentence. So go to the website or the Facebook page, or just give me a call at 331-7267, and I'll get back with you. And I just really look forward to, this is a glorious day. I can be out and about knocking on doors and be down in the south end of Nowata County and northern Rogers County and meet more people, learn more about my fellow Oklahomans, and re-emphasize what a joy it is to live here. We are very blessed to be in Oklahoma, and I just want to work to make it better for everybody.
Julie, thank you very much for
your time. Thanks, Charlie, very much.
We will talk more as the campaign continues, but a Community Connection this morning with candidate for the State Senate, Julie Daniels, on a Community Connection on K1.
I saw a billboard recently that showed an ugly picture of a slave with a shackle or manacle around his neck. There was a